You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Remember when you were a kid and your folks like forced you to go to church? You just dreaded it? Well, dread no more, because now you've got the Church of the Lampshade. That's right. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to get fancy. And if you're unsociable, if you're a complete otaku, you know, a complete shut-in, you can still, you can avoid socializing with people. That's right. All right here at the Church of the Lampshade. It's like custom tailored for you. So glad you could join us this week. Installment number 46, believe it or not, as we draw to a close of current year. And we're fixing to be next year, which will no doubt be a complete new chapter in history, because current year is always a brand new chapter in history here in Clown World. We, of course, have no doubt we'll have a great discussion. We'll try to have a great Christian-specific sermon message later on in the show. But as always, we like to start off by thanking our listener supporters. We got 6 supporters this week, including Bitcoin Anon. Thank you, Bitcoin Anon. Just go ahead and get that out right up front. And remember, if you want to be a part of supporting this show, paying those tithes, take a look. It's all that information's at the bottom of the description page, or the description here on this page. We've got snail mail. We've got Bitcoin. If you've got some other kind of weirdo cryptocurrency, let me know. I'll get you an address for it. I'm not proud. I'll take your ox. So, yeah, also email down there. Questions, comments, always welcome. GrandpaLampshade1@gmail.com. And if you are a crypto supporter, don't be shy. Feel free to drop me an email. Let me know. Yeah, just I'll spread the messages along. You know, give you a little shout out here on the show. Always like to do that. But then again, cryptocurrency people seem to be really big on the whole Anon thing. So, yeah, speaking of listener supporters, let's ease right on in here into the mailbag. This is always how we can kind of get things. It's the new format. We get started from the listener supporter mailbag. So let's get to that real quick. First up, Grandpa, I really have appreciated your broadcasts over the past few years, and they allow me to feel that the ideology I have arrived at in my search for the truth over so many years is not inconsistent with my faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and my commitment to strive to be a disciple of His. Keep up your good work. And the best for you and your family in the new year, from Bill. And I very much appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much. And yeah, no, it's not inconsistent. I this just brought to mind a illustrative thing that happened the other day. I was on the scouring across the barren frontier of social media known as Gab, and I made up a post. I made a post, and it was something along of, I'm waiting for the day when conservatives leaders declare that Christians are the new Nazis, Muslims, communists, whatever, you know, the real Nazis, the real Muslims, the real communists, whatever. I don't think it'll be long, and I kid you not, within like an hour, within probably like 30 minutes, I had this Jewess respond and say, you're not a real Christian unless you believe in the Holocaust. And also, you hate America, the Constitution, and you don't support our troops. So you're not a real Christian. You want to know what a real Christian principle is? The Holocaust. That's why I kid you not. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, honestly, if I was watching this occur, I'd be like, oh, that's got to be a LARP account. It's got, this guy is just like made a sock puppet account, and this isn't real. But it is real. they can't help themselves. And I don't know, my response was something lousy. And they responded again and went on a rant about how, you know, Christianity failed the Jews in the 1930s, as if it's Christianity's job to serve the Jews, and that is the mindset. But the whole point here in bringing it up is how illustrative it is that what we're doing here in pursuing the truth and in serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, they're one and the same. My favorite thing to point out is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," with truth being the center word. So if you're striving for truth, you're naturally being a part of the work of God. It's just that you have to strive for the truth, even when the truth disagrees with what you want it to be. And that's sometimes the tricky part. But yeah, no, you'll definitely catch flack as you walk in the truth and as you strive to speak the truth. I just thought it was really, really interesting that exchange. And it just highlighted so many things that we've talked about here on the show, how the Holocaust is like a religion now and how it is promoted. And basically it's supposed to be superimposed over Christianity, and how the modern cut church has gone along with this, and how that is used as an instrument and a tool of control to keep people in line. The point is that some will sit here and perhaps mock what we do as being pointless and effective, but I think it's very much the opposite is true. I think we're doing work here and speaking the truth and getting in the scripture and speaking the word of God. I think it's probably, no, I believe it's definitely more substantial than anything I've ever worked for before. I think it's very, very important. So again, thank you very much. This is from Arthur. "Keep slugging away, Grandpa, for the USS Globo Homo has struck the iceberg and it's sinking fast. Also sending out a challenge to my Southern brethren to make a commitment and send a few shekels each month." Very much appreciated, Arthur. And the challenge is passed along. Pay those tithes to the Church of the Lampshade. There are... people are getting fed up worldwide with USS Globo Homo, as you put it. And I do. I think we're starting to see the beginnings of some pushback, and it's getting more and more, the globalists are getting more and more frantic to try to push their agenda. I mean, look at how desperate and how clumsy a lot of their attempts are. I mean, you got Greta Thunberg. You know, they take this basically retarded girl and push her at the forefront and screech at everybody. You know, how they're destroying the planet. How dare you? How dare you? You're destroying the planet. And this is supposed to make people want to get on board with them. I find it amazing, you know, that back in the old days, you know, the communists, you know, you'd go back to the, you know, to the 20s and 30s, you know, the communists offered the workers something. "We're going to stop you being exploited. We're going to raise your standing of living." And granted, it was a lie, but they did offer them something. You know, what are the communists today, which is what these globalists are? It's just they put on new clothes, but it's the same. It's the same ideology when you get down to it. What are they offering the people? Nothing. Nothing. They just screech at them and tell them that they're going to destroy the planet by existing. Well, I don't care how brainwashed anybody is. Anybody's going to stop and question the agenda when essentially you're being told that your very existence is a problem. Because then, that leads to the question, what's the solution here? And then you have, you know, the regular social media sites like Twitter and Facebook. I mean, everybody to the right of Stalin has pretty much been booted off of those so that they can amplify the voices of the cancel culture commies, you know, where they screech and act offended. "Oh, we're offended by this. Oh my gosh, we demand an apology. We demand they lose their job. We demand that they be deplatformed. We demand," you know, and over the slightest little thing, because they feel important. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel a rush of power. But that power is largely an illusion. I mean, it's real in a sense, but it's not of their own making. It's because those with greater power have given them a platform, given them a megaphone, propped them up, as it were. And they never consider the fact that the possibility that someday that may not be there. You know, and really the big it'll keel under once the illusion of financial prosperity, which is really an illusion because of it's all supported by debt. Once that illusion of relative economic prosperity and well-being, as it were, once that disappears, it all goes down. It all goes down, and it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. That's why they push as hard as they do now, while it's still there, while people really don't want to push back, while people really want to just kind of somehow find a way to go along and be left. Because really, honestly, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to just go along. Everybody wants to be left alone and get through life. Heck, that's what I'd like. I'd like to go along. I just like to, well, maybe not go along. That's not correct. But, you know, we'd all want to be, it's kind of in our own nature. We want to be, it's the way we're wired. We want to be left alone to live our lives in peace. But once people realize that these commies are never going to leave you alone, then things get interesting. Mr. T, GPL, hope you and yours had a great Christmas. Well, same back to you. I hope all of y'all did as well. It was okay. Christmas is one of those things. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, when you have little, you know, when you're, it starts off being magical when you yourself are a child, you know, and you look forward to it, and it's exciting. You get up early. The one time when you're a kid that you actually get up early, and you know, you run in there to see what's under the tree, and it is, it's exciting, it's magical, you know. And then of course, obviously, that magic goes away. And then if you have kids, when you have kids, you know, then it becomes magical again, because, you know, you have these small children and you watch it be magic for them. You watch them be excited over it. And then, you know, and it's exciting, you know, and then eventually your kids grow up. And if you live long enough and you're blessed, then you get to have grandkids and you watch those grandchildren be excited. And it's magical again. So it is a really, you know, it's easy to get cynical about Christmas because, like so many things, it's been subverted. It's been turned into this ridiculous commercialized thing, which we talked about on the last show. But it's been, you know, kind of really, you know, really desecrated in a way. But that doesn't mean that it has to be that way for you. You know, it still could be magical for you. And if you, you know, when you have Christmas come around, if you have small children or grandchildren, you know, enjoy the magic yourself. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing that says, you know, you're not allowed to, you know, stop along the road here and enjoy life a little bit. Next up from Nick, Grandpa, wishing you a Merry Christmas and all the best in 2020. Please send some of these shekels along to Sven and some for the Church of the Lampshade. Be well, many thanks, and God bless you, from Nick. And I'll be sure and get some of that passed on, Sven. And very much, again, very much appreciated. You know, we're going to rock into the new year. And it's, you know, needless to say, 2019 been interesting, to say the least. It just makes you wonder what 2020 will hold. We're going to hope for good things. Always hope for good things. Finally up, this is from you. Thank you very much for all you do. Merry Christmas. And again, Merry Christmas to all of y'all. I hope it went well for you. And yeah, we're going to head into this new year. And once again, appreciate all the support. Information's at the bottom of the page. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. As you can see, we like going to the mailbag. It really adds another level of discussion. So encourage you to get in on that. Once again, that information's at the bottom of the page. As we reflect a little bit, I thought, because this is basically the end of the year. This will be the last episode, number 46. This will be the last show of 2019. See, you were starting to worry there. You're like, what? The last show? What are you talking about? The last show? No, the last show of 2019. If it becomes the last show, period, then they've swooped me off and I'm like in a black prison cell somewhere in Guantanamo Bay. The ultimate shut it down. But otherwise, no, it's just the last show for 2019. And being the last show of 2019, I thought we'd just kind of reflect a little bit on the new. Now, we did kind of a roundtable show with Sven Longshanks. If you didn't see that, you can catch that as well. It's in the listing there. And we looked for positive things. And needless to say, that was a difficult task for me. But just kind of positive things on the you know, on the world stage that have happened in the past year. But I thought we'd reflect a little bit about us, about myself, about the show, and you, the listeners. You know, because we're kind of all in this little boat together. And just kind of look back a little bit on this year and kind of look forward to the next year. I just, you know, this past year, I mean, saw the creation of this Church of the Lampshade show. Needless to say, we went through the doxing and the job losing and the threats and basically, you know, having my life turned upside down. But you see, even the actions of the enemy push forward the work of the truth, the work of the Lord. I do. I believe that. I mean, I would have never just said, if somebody a year ago today, if you'd have said, well, what you need to do, what you need to do is quit your job, do a new show focusing on a Christian message and the truth, as really we've always tried to focus on the truth, but packaged in centered on the Christian message. You know, go ahead and quit your job. Everything will work out. It'll all be good. And, you know, if I'd have been asked to volunteer to do the things that have got us to where we are today, there ain't no way. I'd have been like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. And but yet, even through the actions of these enemies, the Lord, his will has worked out, and we are doing something bigger than we've ever done before. I honestly believe that. I think what we're doing with this show versus the old show, I was burned out on doing the old show and, you know, felt like I'd pretty much done everything I could do with that and really just ready to sit back and watch it burn. But that wasn't how things were meant to turn out. And here we are, we're doing this show. It's fresh. I think it's fun every week. It's something different for all of us. And here we are, you know, and we're doing this work. We're doing a message that I think is strikes much more to the heart of what needs to be done, the messages that need to be told. And really, ultimately, I think we're doing more with this than we ever have. We've seen, and we've made it by. You listeners have, again, we're all kind of in this boat together. And look, I always strive to speak the truth. And there's going to be times I know that I say things that y'all don't agree with, but you haven't just jumped off the boat. You know what I mean, again, I strive for the truth. And in doing that, you always have to be willing to run into things that, you know, that's a truth you don't want to accept. But when you commit yourself to seeking the truth in these things, you have to ask, you know, get over the emotional triggering, because I'm speaking from experience here for myself. You have to get over the emotional triggering and say, okay, well, but is it the truth? And if it is, you know, alter your views accordingly. And I'm really appreciative of the fact that, you know, so many of y'all have stayed on the boat, as it were. And yeah, we're all in this together. It's been an interesting year, and we look forward to the next year and wondering what challenges we'll face and, you know, what kind of blessings we might see, what new things are going to happen. And we've continued to watch Clown World. We had a listener talk about the USS Globo Homo hitting an iceberg. And yeah, we've seen the Clown World acceleration. I look at all these things, and I talk to people in real life, and they talk about they're, you know, they're normies. I mean, they're good-hearted. They're good people. But, you know, I mean, their understanding of these things and the driving forces behind them is very limited. And they're still only receptive to a very limited amount of information. And they're like, what is going on? I can't believe what's happening to this country, you know, to the world around us. And there's this feeling of anxiousness, you know, among the people. And people have this tendency, again, to think that trajectories don't change. And they look at Clown World, it's really the ongoing collapse of society, of the societal order, not just in America, but in the West in general, and in a lot of ways worldwide. And they look at these things and they act like, well, you know, where are we going to be in 50 years? Well, you know, and they're discouraged. People are very anxious about this because they think, well, we're going to continue down this path. We're going to continue this trajectory. And the communists love that. They love to have instill this feeling of this sense of inevitability that they will win. And the conservative movement has been very much a part of that over the decades. Conservatives sit there and claim to be against what the left demands. Then they compromise and give the left most of what they demand. And then in a few years, the conservatives say that what the leftists demanded is actually their principles and what they stand for. Wash, rinse, and repeat. And people have experienced this over their lifetimes, whether it's, you know, whether you're a young person or you're getting up in years. Either way, you've experienced this. You've seen this trend. And what that does is it programs you with a sense of inevitability. The commies will always win. The leftists will always get their way. The liberals will always get what they want. But why should they? I mean, why are they do what they want and you're not do what you want? And people are starting to question these things. But people have this sense of anxiousness, this anxiety, and because of this sense that things are going to continue down this trajectory. I always tell people, look at this craziness and the way it's accelerated simply in the past 5 years, 10 years. At this rate of acceleration and this path that we're going down, how can anybody, you don't have to be really versed in these political happenings and understanding the dynamics that are going on here. You just simply have to look back 10 years at the path we're on, the way it's accelerated and the way it is heading, to know this is not sustainable. I don't know how it comes apart. We don't know how any of this plays out. That's why I don't think it does any good to just simply check out and hunker down in a bunker, you know, or anything like that. We don't know how it plays out. You've got to go on living your life. I think that's another thing that we should avoid moving into the new year. And I would encourage you to avoid quits. Don't get into this mindset that you have to stop living. That somehow you just, because you're aware of these things going on and you're awake to these things, that you should somehow just like stop living your life. Like somehow, I don't know, you're just a traitor to what you're supposed to be doing if you don't stop living your life. Keep living your life. We don't know how it plays out. We don't know where this path leads. We're going to seek the truth, but you got to keep on living. There's nothing wrong with having hopes or even plans for the future. I mean, they may not play out, but you have to have something you're striving for. You can't just sit here and say, well, there's no point in hoping to be at a better place next year because everything's going to keep going to crap. That brings you down. That poisons your well of hope. You know, you've got to keep some hope going. This path that we are on as a society is not sustainable. Something has to break. At some point in time, and it's my belief, and as you look back through history, I believe history backs this up, that when that dam breaks, it'll probably be some, you know, taken by itself, some insignificant incident. But when that dam breaks, it's going to release a flood water, and it's honestly, it's going to be very... It's going to be historical in nature. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be pleasant, but I think we're going to see a lot of things washed out. And I'm not talking about on the dissident right. I mean, we're still a very, you know, a lot of ways, a very small community, tight-knit community, I'd like to believe. I'm talking in the masses themselves, the people themselves. I believe that there is a lot of pent-up anger. I believe there is a lot of pent-up rage, especially from those, not from those who are aware of these things and what's happening, because that in itself is like a relief valve. You know, you at least know why these things are happening and the different, you know, the why these things are headed. You could trace it back kind of some of the things that started this direction. But for those, think about the frustration. You feel frustrated. You feel frustrated because you look at these things and you're like, why did they set up the Federal Reserve? You know, but think about those that aren't aware of even where this is coming from. You know, as far as they're concerned, their life should have just been going on. And now, look, everything's going to hell. And we have these commies constantly screeching and accusing people of being Nazis and accusing you of being a hater. And you dare not say the wrong thing to the wrong protected group. And you're not even sure who the protected groups are anymore because they seem to change daily. Imagine the amount of frustration that leads to anger among the masses. among the masses of normal people that just, the NPCs that just go through their life. They just want to go to work and be a worker bee and go home and watch the football game on the weekend and talk to their friends and go back to their box and slave away in their box all week and then wash, rinse, and repeat, go keep going through that same. That's all they want. They don't want some revolution. They don't want anything to change. They just want to be able to be a worker bee, have a hope for some kind of retirement at the end of their lives, you know, when they're old. And they just want to be left alone. They want some predictability in their lives, in their society. And they're not getting that. In fact, it's the opposite of what they're getting. And they have no idea why. They can't sit here and trace it back to historical events, you know, and see that with this led to this, all these things work together. And now it's culminated in Clown World. Congratulations. To them, Clown World has just popped up out of the blue. And now all of a sudden it's like they're living, you know, in some kind of alien culture. What's happened? And they don't understand. So there's this underlying current of real frustration and anger among the masses. And the commies, in their typical fashion, when this anger, as this anger is becoming evident, they try to accuse us of stoking that anger by pointing out, because we point out the truth. Seriously, isn't that funny? Isn't it funny how they deflect and try to put the blame on the truth tellers? Well, if you weren't speaking out these truths, these people wouldn't be angry. It's they always absolve themselves of any responsibility. Because, oh, it's not because you've plunged the entire civilized West into clown world chaos. No, that's not the problem. The problem is these people pointing it out. It's like when you read these stories, you know, from Europe or Britain or, you know, and you have these Muslim rape gangs and they suddenly get caught and, you know, they've been grooming and raping young girls for years and years and years. Yeah. And the police will make a bigger effort going after people complaining about it and pointing it out than it seems like they actually make against the perpetrators themselves. Thus is Clown World. Though the commies will always deflect the blame onto somebody else. It's the way it's always been. You know, it's the way it's always been. It won't be their fault that for plunging society into chaos. It's our fault for pointing it out. It's our fault for complaining about it. It's our fault for pointing out the things that have led up to this. You know, and we always get accused of blaming other people for these things, but we just point out where it comes from. You know, and it is a complicated thing to go back over. You know, I mean, like we look at the boomers. The boomers get a lot of flack, and honestly, a lot of it deservedly so. But the boomers didn't set up the Federal Reserve. The boomers didn't decide to throw away the concept of a voluntary union and fight the Civil War in the 1800s. I mean, all of these actions. I mean, I can go all the way back to the founding of the nation. I believe the abandonment of the Articles of Confederation for a federal government and the Constitution was a huge mistake. That was the first blunder of the new nation. I honestly believe that, and you can move forward from there. The crushing of the Whiskey Rebellion, you just keep moving forward. All these decisions made over the years, it's easy to sit here, you know, the boomers are an easy target, you know, and again, most of the flack the boomers receive is deserved. Obviously, exceptions to based boomers, listen to the show, where, you know, we know the difference between group behaviors and individuals. We're all grown up here. But it is a very complicated thing, and it's very difficult to really instruct people. I have people, you know, if you have people say, well, just explain it to me. And don't feel bad if somebody says that to you. Well, just, oh, fine, you know all of this, then explain it to me. And don't feel bad if you get like a glaze, like a deer in the headlight look, because it's impossible to sit down and, you know, how do you give a Cliff Notes version of these events, these truths, that it has taken you years and years to discover, to come to investigate and figure out. I mean, you know, what? Somebody wants you to sit here and give them the 5-minute version because people's attention span is so lacking. You know, they want you to sit down and explain it all to them in 5 to 10, 5 minutes, 10 tops, and then we've got to move on to something else. Explain it to, well, okay, from the beginning. Yes, from the beginning. Well, when this nation was founded, You know, the Articles of Confederation were, wait, what are you going on about? You're going back to the 1700s? Yes, I, you said start from the beginning. Not that far back to the beginning. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, it's impossible. It's impossible. People want you to be able to, you know, they want you to give them like a 5-minute version, and that's not possible. And people vent their frustrations. You know, they'll vent their frustrations at somebody. The boomers catch a lot of flack just because they're the oldest, basically the oldest generation by and large that's still around. So they're going to get blamed. That's just, again, it's human nature. But anyway, this trajectory we're on, it's not reeling it back in, I guess, to the original point. This is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. I don't know how it plays out. I don't know how fast the USS Globo Homo sinks. I don't know how the societal collapse winds up looking. I think a lot of people, and you don't either. Nobody does. People get this idea like they can predict what's going to happen is this. And then they start working to try to create that happening. But you don't know. We don't know what this looks like. I'm not going to sit here and say it could just be a bed of roses, because I don't believe that's in the cards. You know, the natural order will reassert itself. And the harder you push away from the natural order, the more painful, the more severe that correction will be. Well, it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist sit around and look and say, we have pushed the people, these nations have pushed the natural order so far out of kilter that then it just stands to reason that the correction is not going to be painless, to say the least, but it will come. The natural order, nature will reassert itself and will once again create balance. This societal collapse we're seeing, if you think about it, if you're pushing against a pendulum or holding like up an inflated ball under the water, that's what pushing against the natural order is like. And they've pushed the natural order under, like holding that ball under the water, and they've held it under for a long time, and now their grip is starting to weaken, and it's starting to slip. That's why you're seeing them become more and more frantic to try to push this globalist commie agenda. It's slipping from their hands, and the natural order, this breakdown is the natural order's nature starting to creak, starting to push back. It's starting to slip from their fingers. There's no reason to believe that 2020 is not going to continue to see this breakdown, to see the natural order push back. They've pushed this as far as they can. I'm not saying that they're not going to push more clown world on us. Obviously they will, but that in and of itself is a sign of the collapse. It is getting so ridiculous. It's getting so absurd. It's getting so clownish. As for this show, we'll continue on doing our best. I don't know what lies ahead for us. I know as we continue speaking truths, I fully expect the enemies of truth, the servants of Satan, the minions of Satan, to continue to push back to try to shut that truth down. I expect opposition. And you should too. In your lives, the more you hold to the truth, the more you try to live in walking in the truth, the more you can expect pushback on that. The more you can expect, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but to bring division. And that is what you can expect. The truth brings division in this world. But we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. We're going to face these things. We're going to face obstacles that come along. And you know, who knows what this next year holds. We're just going to continue to try to get by week to week. Things we are working on behind the scenes, we'll continue to work on those things. And you know, obstacles that come up, we'll find ways to get around them. That's ultimately all we can do. And if you look at the, you know, a good reflection of this is in the early church, in the book of the book of Acts, you know, the apostles would set up shop somewhere, you know, and about the time things were rolling, well, they had to leave town and go to the next place and go to the next place. And then they ran into this problem at that place. And it's kind of like that. But they kept striving towards the same goal. And that's what we shall do. We'll continue to walk in, speak in the truth, and see how these things, we'll face the obstacles as they come, overcome them, and move to the next thing. I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's always interesting. I always, about this time of the year, I reflect back and I think, I think about where was I last year at this time? Where, you know, in the, not the sense of where was I physically located, but where was my life last year at this time? And then that leads to, where will I be next year at this time? Where will my life be next year at this time? What kind of things will have transpired in just a short year? What kind of things will I have seen? What kind of things will have taken place? What will have changed in the world around us? We look back at 2019, the current year that was, and you know, it's been a trying year, but I have faith that we're where we're supposed to be. And we look forward to the next current year. And we just got to have faith that we'll be where we're supposed to be there as well. And we'll just have to see where it leads us. Before we get into the sermon, we'll wrap up with this note. I was talking earlier about that Gab interaction. You know, you can't be a real Christian unless you believe in the Holocaust. The interaction was pretty much wrapped up when this person said, keep up your bullshit and face the consequences. Always with the threat. And my response was, I stand with the Lord Almighty. I'm not the one that needs to worry about consequences. And that is the attitude that we should all have. Victory is ours in the Lord, regardless of what happens or how this plays out in this life. They try to steal your victory. They try to threaten you out from your victory. The victory is yours. We have to claim it, and we have to walk with an attitude of confidence of our victory being assured through Christ, regardless of how it plays out in this world. We'll wrap up on that note. We're going to get into our Christian-specific sermon, as it were, this week. In the Church of the Lampshade, those of you who don't stick around for that, I don't know why you wouldn't. Even if you're a non-believer, you miss so much of Lulzy stuff. But, you know, that's up to you. Those who don't want to stick around for that, again, appreciate you stopping by. You're always welcome. And the rest of you, get in here, fill those pews, whether you want to sit in the front, whether you want to sit in the back, whether you want to sit in the choir. It is up to you, but get on in here. It's time to fill those pews. It's time for this week's sermon in the Church of the Lampshade. And as you get settled in here, I think we're going to be looking today at the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 23, probably 23 through 26. We may do some other verses. I don't know. We can squeeze a lot of just a few verses. So as we look at a new current year coming up, striving forward, you may be kind of questioning, so, you know, what am I as a Christian believer? You know, what should I be doing better? How should I be making more progress? But we're going to talk about that this week. So look at Luke chapter 9. We'll start with verse 23. And as usual, we're going to kind of just read just a little bit. There's so much here. We'll expand on it quite a bit. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So let's stop there. And he said, right off the bat, if any man, so he's not talking specifically, this screws a lot of people up, is that we'll read the scripture and Jesus will be giving specific instructions to his disciples at that specific time. And people read that and they think it applies to them. And it's like, no, he was telling those guys at that time, this is what you need to go do. And people read that, well, I'm supposed to go. No, you're not Peter. You know, you're not one of the apostles at that time. That was instructions that was given to that time. But Jesus is making it clear here. If any man, so this actually does apply to you. This applies to anybody. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is the opposite of what clown world says, isn't it? Deny himself. This is not what clown world says. Clown world says, embrace yourself. Embrace your sinful nature. In fact, your sinful nature is who you are. I made the comment the other day, you know, somebody made a scriptural post about being double-minded. And I made the point that the state of biblical, when you talk about the scripture, a double-mindedness, you know, your spiritual nature and your sinful nature are in a constant conflict. It is. And that doesn't indicate that something's wrong with you, by the way. The Satan will sometimes try to come around and tell you, because there's this conflict between your sinful nature and your spiritual nature, that means you are somehow, you're not really saved. You're not really a child of God through Jesus Christ, because otherwise there wouldn't be a conflict. The sinful nature would just be gone. It would just be magically gone. Jesus would have made that happen, but he didn't. And the fact that you struggle with your sinful nature means you're not really saved. You don't really believe in Christ. You don't really love Christ. You don't really... Do not listen to that liar. Do not listen to that murderer. Deny yourself. Deny himself. The world says, you ever notice that the world never says to embrace your spiritual nature? You ever notice that? I saw I've seen one of these stories recently where some state here in America, I think it was, has outlawed this. Some of the churches and some religious groups do this, what is like conversion therapy, where they, you know, try to get homosexuals to quit being homosexuals and, you know, to be like a normal life. And they were celebrating a law banning this barbaric idea that anybody should try to convince homosexuals not to be homosexuals. But as they were all running around patting themselves on the back for being such good thinkers, I was thinking to myself, why these people that are doing this conversion, whether you think that works or not is irrelevant. The thing is, the people doing that aren't going out and, like, you know, raiding a gay pride parade and snatching people off the street and forcing them, you know, tying them down into a chair and forcing them to go through this. Nobody who's going into this program, you know, involuntarily, you know, people's families aren't abducting them off the street, you know, slip into the gay bar and gag them and zip tie them and haul them off to be conversion therapy. This is a voluntary thing. So people are going to this going, I don't like this lifestyle. I don't like this. I don't want to live this way. And they would go to these things and say, I want to try to fix this about myself. So you have the state passing a law to rob people of this choice, the choice to make on their own to try to change this about themselves. And they celebrate themselves as though they are doing some great and righteous thing. Oh, the word is correct, isn't it? That which is evil will be called good, and that which is good will be called evil. People that want voluntarily, not forcing anybody. They're not trying to force anybody to abandon their lifestyle. This is for people who voluntarily themselves, but they don't want them to have that choice. Because the world says, you have to live this way. You've got to live that way. That's who you are. In fact, it's completely pointless to try to be any different, to try to be any better. You must embrace your sinful nature. They promote this attitude. This attitude in this world, is in this corrupt and wicked society, is constantly promoted. I talked about earlier how the commies, you know, they get you with this attitude of inevitability that they're going to win. You know, and it's because of the way things have played out over the years. Everybody has this attitude that, well, we can fight back, we can complain, but the commies are always going to win in the end. That's what they want. And this is reflected as a kind of a reflection of, in a larger context, our society promotes the inevitability of sin. If you have these desires, then you've got to act on them. If you have these, you know, if you have that, the sinful nature is going to win. You've got to embrace it. There's no point in fighting against the sinful nature. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And say, if that sinful nature, if that which you were struggling with is supposed to not exist because of Christ, then he wouldn't have needed to tell you to deny yourself. Deny yourself, deny your sinful nature, deny what you want to do. But the world says it's inevitable. You have to embrace that. It's who you are. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross. Have you ever thought about what that means? It's amazing that Jesus used this illustration because, once again, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Once again, what does the cross represent here? The cross isn't an instrument of life. It's an instrument of death. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Pick up that which brings about death, your sinful nature. It's not going to go away. You might tame it. You feed the spiritual nature and try to make the spiritual nature stronger than the sinful nature. But in the end, every day you get up, you've got to pick up that cross, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's the desire to use drugs, whatever it may be. You got to pick that cross up. Today is a new day. As a hokey saying goes, is today's the first day of the rest of your life, but it's true. Every day you got to get up, you got to decide to shoulder that cross, that burden, and follow him. You also have to be prepared for societal rejection. When Jesus said, take up his cross daily and follow me, when people, just as with Christ, but when people were executed on the cross, they would make them pick it up and they'd parade them. They'd make them carry their instrument of execution through the streets. And the people would line up on the streets and mock them and ridicule them and spit at them, throw stuff at them as they're dragging their own instrument of execution through the streets. They faced public ridicule as they drug their cross. And he's not saying, oh boy, everybody's going to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are. No, you're going to face public ridicule. You're going to face people mocking you. It's you pick up the cross, you parade it through the streets. But you do it every day. Let's continue on. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I was going to stop there, but let's continue with verse 25. In fact, let's just back up, reread that so we get it all here together. Sorry about that, but I was going to stop and make a point, but I think it'll work better if we continue on. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? I'm not one of those that believes that the only time we're going to see victory in the Lord is after we leave this life. And I think that's a pitfall. And once again, it falls into this inevitability mindset that the devil is always going to win. I'm not of the mindset that the only victory we will see is when Christ returns, is in the next life. I'm not. I believe we can see victories each day. I believe we can see victories along the way. Now, the war won't be won until we see the return of Christ, until this next life, when you leave this life. But I believe that we can have victories along the way. The thing is, Jesus points out here, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What if he gain? You gain the whole world. Look at these rich, evil people. They're old and they just keep living. You know, they're taking baby blood transplants and getting probably illegal organs harvested into them and everything else to try to stay alive. They're trying frantically now to hold on to this life. You know, you think about people, you always, you poor people, you always, you know, look to rich people, man, they've got it made. And it's, but the thing is, we all leave this world with the same amount. The homeless guy leaves this world, the homeless guy that owns nothing but a cardboard box and a lice-infested blanket, when he dies cold and alone on the street, leaves this world with the exact same amount as the most wealthy billionaire. They leave with the same thing. What's his advantage if you gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The thing is, the ultimate victory is guaranteed. The pivotal battle has already been won. That was won on the cross. I mean, the war continues on, but the outcome has been decided. Ultimately, that victory will be there. People tend to think this life is long, but it's not. It's very short. And those who enjoy the spoils, those who serve Satan in this world, and thus are rewarded accordingly, they have this mindset that it's totally worth it. It's going to continue on, but at some point it's not worth it. When you compare, if you live a long time, if you lived 100 years, which would be a long, long life in this world, you know, what is that, even historically speaking? Just not even getting into the concept of eternity that never ends, where there's an absence of time. Looking historically, what's 100 years? I've been here over half of that. It's nothing. But yet, you talk about it. You can talk about forever. You talk about eternity, the absence of time, where there's, where you wind up is where you're at. If you wind up cast into hell, there's no hope. I always say the thing that makes the concept of hell so scary is not that it's a place of punishment, is a place of misery. It's the fact that there's no hope of leaving. If you were thrown into the worst, dankest, darkest prison on the planet, you would have the hope that you know you're going to leave. Even if you leave through death, you are getting to get out of there one of these days. It's not forever. That hope isn't present in hell. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. See, if you strive... It's funny how it works, because the more you strive for things, you strive... You know, with the wrong motivations. This is such an easy thing to fall into. I fall into it, you fall into it, everybody falls into this. You know, you somehow want to, you hope that, you might start by hoping God's going to do this, that, or the other, but then you become covetous of these things, you know? You become covetous of those that have wealth. And the more you fall into that, the further away you get from God's plan for you. Maybe he will bless you in some worldly way, you know, here in this life. But you'll miss that. You'll miss that because you're so busy coveting that which you don't have, that God's already blessed you with things around you in your life, your family perhaps, or peace in your home. Your bills are paid. You've got a roof over your head. You're warm. You're not worried about what you're going to eat tonight, but you don't notice any of those things. You're too busy coveting what you don't have. Feel bad. We all fall into it. It's an easy trap to fall into. Those who abandon the truth so that they have it easy, so that they can just try to save their life. They don't want any friction. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to be attacked. They don't want to be persecuted. They're just going to stay silent over here on the side and not speak the truth. They're trying to save their life. They're trying to bring, just get along here in this life. But in the end, they ultimately wind up losing their life. This will be illustrated as we wrap up with verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, who was Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That's who he was. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Are you ashamed of his name, who he is? Look at the way in which the world rejects his name, who he is. The way. There's only but one way. There's the door is narrow. That door is through Christ. But yet, we look in our society and what does the world say? Religion in the West today is treated like an all-you-can-eat buffet. They've got choices. Why, I'm going to adopt a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yeah, some of this Christianity stuff that I like, I'll embrace. But I also like this other religion over here. And I could just put a little of this on my plate and a little of that on my plate and put this thing together. And there's only one way. Well, that's the one inclusive. They deny that Christ is the way. They say, well, he's not. Maybe he is the way for you. But what about everybody else? So exclusive. He is the truth. We know how the world reacts to the truth. Do you reject the truth? Are you ashamed of the truth? And the truth is the truth. It doesn't even have to be of a religious nature. I always point out that Christ wasn't executed, you know, for proclaiming, you know, for the miracles that he did. He was accused by the Jews, by the Pharisees, of leading an insurrection. That was the excuse. I mean, the people that were just like wandered into town, they wandered into town the day of the crucifixion. They'd be like, so what are these guys being executed? Well, that guy there in the center, you know, he was claiming to be a king besides Caesar. And apparently he was, from what I hear, he was trying to lead some kind of rebellion or something. He was speaking out against the rulers and against the government or something. It's like, oh, okay. That wasn't the real reason, but that was the excuse. The truth is the truth. How many people, when it comes to, they're Christians, they claim to be Christians, but they're ashamed of the truth. But he's the life. That is where you find life, is each day picking up your cross, the burden of who you are, and all the crap, all the baggage that comes with that, the things that carry over into your adulthood that happened to you when you were a child, experiences that you've had that you wish you didn't have, that have formed that which you struggle against. You have to pick all of that baggage up, deny yourself, deny your sinful nature, and pick it up and walk in the way, the truth, and the life. And this isn't confusing. You know those people, you've all known those people that are religious, that like make, they like insert Jesus into things and it's like has nothing to do with, and they're like cringy. That's because they read this and they think that, you know, that means, that's what Jesus means here. If you're ashamed of me and who I am, then I'll be ashamed of you. So they want to, they think that if they insert Jesus into the conversation in the most cringeworthy way possible, and if it makes you feel cringy, then you're being ashamed of the name of Jesus, because they literally think it means, you know, Jesus, the name. You know, you'd be having what I'm talking about? You'd be having like a conversation to have anything to do with anything. Like there's a group of people and you're sitting around and maybe you're talking about a project at work and you're like, man, I tell you, I don't know. You know, we've got this deadline. I don't know if we can make it. We're still waiting on parts. But, you know, and then we've had this machine break and we're trying to get this done. And yeah, Joe, I know what you mean, you know. Da, da. And then you have that guy. It's like, hey, talking about this, have y'all thought about Jesus lately? And everybody's like, cringe, because this guy, the guy inserts Jesus into everything that has nothing to do with what they're talking about. And it makes it, and this guy, he feels, pats himself on the back because everybody's cringing. They're cringing because I made him uncomfortable because I brought up Jesus. No, they're cringing because Jesus doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about here. That is not, that is not what Jesus is talking about when he says, if you're ashamed of me, of my name, of who I am. That does not mean you're supposed to like insert his name in a cringeworthy fashion that has nothing to do with the topic at hand. That's not what he's talking about doing. Jesus is serious. This is serious business. And you see people that are immature in their faith. You know, we have to be patient with that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. If you're ashamed of his name, of who he is, the way, the truth, life, ultimately, it ends in the life, then You know, are you ashamed of those things? This is what it's talking about. Are you uncomfortable with the truth? Would you rather just go along with a lie? Would you rather just embrace the lie? This is that time of the year when people talk about New Year's resolutions. Because it's like a waypoint in life. You know, we're starting a new calendar year. So people reflect and they look forward. What am I going to do different this year? What's my New Year's resolution? But the fact of the matter is, each day is a resolution. Each day, you have to resolve yourself. You have to find the resolve to pick up your cross, your burdens, get up, and follow Him. To walk in the truth. To walk, to follow Christ. To follow the way. To walk in the truth. And to ultimately find the life. We're going to wrap up on that note, folks. Thank you once again. Hopefully you got something out of the message this week. I encourage you, as always, to continue pondering these things and thinking about these things and reflecting on them. And hopefully, you know, hopefully God will bless you with, you know, further insight than what we can bring into this time frame here. But anyway, hope you got something out of it. Once again, thank you to those financially supporting what we're doing here. The more support means, you know, the more our ability to continue doing this. It's no surprise that all the actions have been taken over the years to shut that off, to keep that from happening. It's because it is an integral part of being able to continue to do this. So highly encourage everybody to keep on with that. And again, it's much appreciated. We're going to wrap up on that note, folks. Thank you for joining us this week. And we'll be back in a new current year next week right here for the Church of the Lampshade.